Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2. Let us stand together, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And when they were departed, that being the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. That's from the book of Hosea chapter 11. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the season that we have just celebrated. We thank you for this propitiation that was sent as a sacrifice for us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. So there are four events that precede Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, if you would, please. Luke chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 26. These are all part of the Christmas story, and I know sometimes, and you've seen it, where the star seems to be over Bethlehem's manger, and the wise men are at the manger scene. The Bible really doesn't indicate that. The Bible indicates that the wise men came and found a young child in a house. And so Jesus was probably somewhere between 6 months and 20 months old when the wise men came, not to disturb you and your manger scene that you might have at the house. If you're like us, we put our manger scene on one table and we put the wise men elsewhere because they're coming. Okay? But we find that there are four things that are part of the Christmas story. The first one is the announcement of the birth of Christ to Mary, number one, in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Isn't that a great testimony? I mean, don't you want that said of you, that you have found favor with God? What a thought. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. If you would, the book of Matthew now, chapter 1, verse 18, we have the second part of the story. Mary is told, now Joseph is going to be told. Now, I'm not sure which one part of this is harder for her, who has never known a man to be said, you're going to be pregnant, and that she would have to bear this child for 9 months with people wondering about her, or for Joseph, who was engaged to this young woman, and to be told that she is with child, wondering. And verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so this was the second part of the Christmas story. Now back to the book of Luke once again, chapter 2 and verse 1, we come to the third part. The third part. And you say, well, Pastor, we know all of this. Well, I just think it's good to remind us. It's kind of like watching three different episodes of A Christmas Carol. You know that there are going to be the three ghosts that come, but you watch it anyways, right? Verse 1 of chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Joseph is gone up to Bethlehem to be taxed with Mary, and I wonder if they had to pay tax on Jesus. If I remember correctly, Dave and Ann, don't you have a grandchild coming the 31st of this year? Isn't that a great time to have a child? The 31st, you get full tax credit. Yes, and this will be number 3, a boy, girl, a girl. I imagine you're excited. Little Grace, Grace is on the way. Absolutely. So part 3, but now let's go to part 4, Matthew chapter 2. And has become tradition on the Sunday following Christmas, I speak of the wise men. And up here on the communion table, you see the three wise men who make their 1 week pilgrimage to our auditorium. They actually were a gift from Donna's mother to her. And so seeing them there may stir some thoughts within you. But we find that we have here the visit of the wise men, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He wasn't troubled because he thought he had missed the birth. We're going to find out he was troubled because he thought there was someone that was going to take his place. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Herod was a liar. Do you know anybody that's a liar? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I must be a little giddy today. I don't know. Verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search. And we read that. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. How will you be remembered? Chiro Swindell writes, ever wonder what archaeologists will dig up from our civilization? Twinkies, McDonald's signs, Michael Jackson's Thriller, football goalposts, nuclear submarines, religious artifacts from the People's Temple, and books like Give Me That Primetime Religion, let alone pornography, alcohol, drugs, music, films, all which will show what a crazy generation we are. But how will you be remembered? Mary will be remembered as a highly favored virgin. She will be remembered as someone that was pure, someone that was favored, someone that God chose to use. But may we note in verse 11 that the wise men fell and worshiped who? They worshiped Jesus. Did they worship Mary? No. See, Mary was simply the vessel God used to bring Jesus in the human form. But Mary will be remembered as highly favored. Joseph, we find, was a just man. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Herod, history records that Herod the Great was near death at the time the wise men visited. Yet this paranoid man who executed several of his own sons on suspicion that they planned to overthrow him was so jealous of his power that he determined to murder an infant who surely could never have come to the throne until after his own demise. See, Herod is a prime example how sin corrupts and holds us in its grip. Herod, instead of being one that would come and worship as the shepherds and as the wise men, sought to kill Jesus. The wise men, were they Jewish, coming from the area of Babylon? Were they Persian astronomers and astrologists who saw his star and journeyed to Judea to worship the promised messianic king? We know that there were at least how many? We know that there had to be at least two, right? Because they were wise men. Okay? We are not told that there were three. They just brought three gifts. Tradition. Could there have been 50? There could have been 50. There could have been 250. We are not told. All we know is that wise men came. Did they come alone? They didn't come alone. They probably came with their families, their servants, those that put up the camps at night and those that prepared the food. And there would have been others traveling with them for safety. There would have been the guards. There could have been 200 or 300 or 400 traveling from the east. So that when they came into Jerusalem, they would have made a great commotion. But Jesus is here, the one that was the promised and prophesied coming king, one that is worthy of our worship and our gifts. May I say this? I'll throw this in. You can write this in your Bible. It's not original with me. The three greatest events in history of mankind center around Christ. Do you realize that? The three greatest events in human history revolve around Christ. Number one, his birth. Has there ever been a greater birth than Jesus Christ? Number two, his death. His death, which was for you and for me. Number three, his resurrection. His resurrection. There'll be a fourth. It's still future. He's coming again. Do you look forward to his return? There is a star. Verse 2 says that it was his star. Now, it's hard to ponder and fathom these wise men with their entourage traveling thousands of miles. Here we see them on camels. I cannot imagine traveling thousands of miles on a camel, even on a horse. But can you imagine they've come because they have seen his star? They've come to see him. We find that they've come to Bethlehem. Throughout the passage, Matthew points out the prophecies which Jesus' birth and early life fulfilled to prove to Jewish readers that Jesus indeed was the promised Messiah. They came to Bethlehem. Was it a large metropolis? No, it was not. King Herod is in charge, shall we say, for such a time as this. Mordecai said that to his cousin Esther. It is said of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. God uses certain men and certain women at certain points in time in history for his purpose. I'm glad when the Lord can use us for his purpose in a right and positive way. The wise men, the term comes from the word magio. And it was applied to the class of scholars and magicians who served as advisors to the Persian rulers. And they had been reading the Old Testament scriptures. Now, they weren't called the Old Testament scriptures then. They were just called the Jewish manuscripts. They were the writings of Moses and of the prophets. And because they didn't have television and cell phones and newspapers, they did other things to occupy their time. And we find that they read these Jewish writings. And then one day they saw a star. Now it's uncertain whether the star was a supernova or a comet, or the planets were all aligned, or just simply a totally supernatural appearance, which I personally believe it was. God, the creator of light, sent a light to announce the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. And this star was sent, and the wise men came. How many of you believe that God provides what you need? You believe that? Do you believe that the wise men showed up at this time, on time, to bring the frankincense, the myrrh, and the gold? They didn't arrive late. They arrived right on time. See, Joseph was warned of the Lord to take Mary and the child into Egypt. They had no family in Egypt. Their family was in Bethlehem. They had to pay to go. And God provides. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And may I say this, when we are faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. And he will provide. See, Joseph was an admirable man. He was compassionate. He was concerned. And even though at first he may have thought that Mary had betrayed him, he was still willing to take her to be his wife. Now, I want you to ponder this. We're not talking 2014 and a woman with a child out of wedlock. We're talking thousands of years ago and a woman out of wedlock. Was their idea different back then than it would be today? Absolutely. Have you ever pondered that Mary had to, for 6 months, walk around as a pregnant woman? And people can count. Math isn't new to us, is it? They knew it took 9 months. Do you think it was hard for Mary? How about for Joseph? Now, two things. Either Joseph, you had this child before you were married, or somebody else did. Wow. Do you think it was hard for Joseph? Both of them were willing, though, to do this for the cause of Christ. I don't understand why this is the way it happened, but God knows. And Mary and Joseph accepted it. That they were willing to do what the Lord wanted them to do. And he was willing to do what God would have him do and to do it immediately. And he took Jesus and Mary into Egypt, fulfilling the scripture that talked about the Son of God coming out of Egypt. He was a godly man. And may I say this, thank God for godly men. Every church needs godly men. Every church needs godly women. Every church needs godly teenagers. Every church needs godly children. We need to be godly. Why? For the sake of our coming families. For our nation, for our Lord. Well, we find the gifts were brought, frankincense, which is an expensive incense, usually contained in a sealed alabaster jar. We find they brought the myrrh, again, something that could be sold, and then they brought the gold. God provided for their journey. And we find that they came in, verse 11 says, and they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. They worshiped him. This babe, this young child, as we said, maybe 6 months old, maybe up to a year and a half. And they come in and they realize the star was for him. And they worshiped him. And they gave him gifts. They were not stingy. They were generous in their giving. Do you like my tie? Isn't that nice, brother? Yeah. My wife got me that. She knows I like purple. Best color? Yeah. Looks good on me, right? Thank you. I didn't say I look good. I said it looks good. Okay. A gift. Donna went and looked for it. You know, that means that she spent some time. A gift. You know, gifts are nice, aren't they? Do you like to receive gifts? It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? But it doesn't say it's not a blessing to receive. It's both. But they brought gifts. We that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, have we not been given a priceless gift, an unspeakable gift, the greatest gift? We that know Jesus Christ as our Savior have been given the greatest gift of all, that of salvation. But Herod has not forgotten the wise men. Now, why he didn't send somebody with them, I don't know. Why he did not have spies that were reporting back to him every day saying, this is what they've done and this is where they've gone and this is who they've seen, I don't know. But at some point in time, he realized that he had been deceived. He realized that the wise men weren't coming back. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, and was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Can you imagine killing all these children for a madman? How sad that is. Oh, by the way, America slaughters thousands of innocents every year. We just simply call it abortion. They call it fetuses. Tissue, but they're human beings. And at some point in time, folks, at some point in time, God will judge America. That judgment has to come. And he will judge America for this heinous sin that is allowed in our country. Oh, it's legal. There's a lot of things that are legal that are wrong. In conclusion, do you like that when I say that? In conclusion, we often remember the gifts given, the songs sung, the excited shepherds, the traveling wise men, but do we remember the looks that Mary and Joseph endured? Do we remember the slaughter of the innocent children? Do we remember the flight into Egypt? Do we remember that Satan hates the Lord Jesus Christ? Satan, the devil, Lucifer, one of the angels, maybe some have said, the greatest of angels, he who would have been God and was cast out of heaven. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates his followers. He hates the church. The church that is firm yet fragile. He hates our message. He hates our innocence. He hates our testimony. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is the one that came to save than the one that desires to condemn. Greater is he that is glad to be our propitiation to him that is our accuser. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? Number 17, the song that we'll be singing for our invitation, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Jesus Christ prayed that in the garden. He asked that the cup be removed from him, but he said, if not, then thy will be done. And Jesus Christ died because it was the will of the Father. And the will of our Lord is that we come to know him as personal Savior. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself that we can be born again, that our sins can be forgiven, and that we can be used of him. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that during this invitation time that you would bless, that you would encourage, that souls could be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.